Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
I'm chatting with Bruce Hunt. He's Managing Director at Transcend Capital. Bruce, appreciate the time today. Starlink, I think everyone out there knows what Starlink is. Elon Musk's satellite internet service taking much of the world by storm, but not South Africa. What's the issue? Is it just the BEE rules, which state for Mikasa that there needs to be a 30% black economic empowerment if Starlink were to operate in South Africa?
Yes, I think that's a major issue. I mean, I think we all see how Elon Musk is operating in America at the moment, believes in small government, non-interference, and the public, and private sector getting on with its options. And certainly, being imposed 30% ownership in South Africa would certainly be a problem, yes.
Are there, in a recent note you put out, you were talking around potential sort of ways around the BEE without, we're not talking around breaking the rules, that's not what the plan is, but an equity equivalent program. Talk to me what an EEP is and how it could fit in this example.
Sure, absolutely. The DTI realized about 20 years ago that many multinationals would battle to sell minority stakes. Mm-hmm. So they set up a program which allowed them to set aside a percentage of their revenue or profits or value of the business and actually build interesting initiatives that could actually support the country. So you got Amazon, which is the most recent, which set up a program where it put aside funds to support businesses in the Amazon Web Services ecosystem to help grow them. And that certainly fitted with helping to grow the country. Similarly, you've had JP Morgan, Caterpillar, IBM, and Microsoft implement a number of those initiatives, and they get ownership equivalent credits on their BEE scorecard. And it really is a win-win. It's great for the country because you get a huge impact from a socioeconomic perspective, and the companies can actually enter into initiatives that can actually help grow their business and grow their South African presence as well.
And in this example, with Starlink, I mean, it could be, for example, on sellers. It could be folks who are doing maintenance. I mean, the satellite dishes are great, but something happens, weather, lightning, I don't know. So it could be something as simple as that, which I imagine Starlink needs on the ground anyway.
Absolutely. But there's other things too. I mean, sometimes we help some companies who'd be servicing the mines. You know, we'd help them and go and say, listen, you're helping small black suppliers. Why don't we give access to power or renewable energy sources? Mm-hmm. And similarly over here, you could even get, you could help black business hubs, and you could put up a internet satellite, which could actually help small businesses in rural communities. And then there's the whole school education type system as well. Mm. Some of the other ideas I was thinking about, imagine you could actually give to education centers, and then you give free satellite or free internet to those schools. And that could help with the acceleration of STEM training for black young children and learners. There's a million things that could be done which actually wouldn't cost a huge amount of money for a company like Starlink relative to what its earnings would be in South Africa, but it could have a huge socioeconomic benefit.
The key point here, and I had not heard around these equity equivalent programs until researching for this interview, to be perfectly honest. It does suggest that the cry out there that BEE prevents foreign firms from coming into our country is just patently wrong. Yes, they need to do some tweaks, perhaps, and they would if they were going into Europe, although perhaps not even there. There really is alternatives, and this is the government being proactive and understanding that they need to help and create those facilitate it and create the employment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, historically, the equity equivalent program, as good as it actually sounds in theory, has been incredibly cumbersome. You know, you'd need to invest a huge amount, you'd need to get government sign in, you'd need to sign off a project for the next 10 years. And it actually has almost been prohibitively difficult and expensive. But there seems to be quite a change from a DTI perspective whereby it seems to be opening up and certainly is on the table. But I must just also mention the fact is that right now, under the current ICASA rules, Starlink can't use an equity equivalent program for 30% black shareholding.
Ah, okay. And that is
and that
that's
really
specific.
Is what the challenge is.
Yeah, that's.
But I think that is some red tape that could be solved quite easily.
Yeah, if it's specific to ICASA, and I get why. I mean, ICASA is a statutory body on its own. Red tape is solvable. The thing with Starlink as well, I mean, we are a diverse country. Yes, I'm sitting here in Johannesburg. It's densely populated. There's fiber running down probably most streets, if not every street in Johannesburg. But a lot of our country is more rural, and it's not just, you know, the sort of rural areas. It's farmland. It's farmers out there who are probably getting very little internet access, if any, at this point in time. And Starlink really would be a game changer.
Absolutely. I mean, like one of my passions is sometimes there's red tape, particularly around black economic empowerment for multinationals who want to do the right thing. And the people who really benefit or lose out the most from this really are the poor. You know, as you're saying, we're sitting here, we have full internet access, we get all the best, and our lives are just great. But if you could just free this up and you could remove and figure out the ways within the current legislation to be able to structure these initiatives. And we've seen tons of examples of that, you know, whether it's PepsiCo with their big pharma outreach type projects and things along those lines, you can have a huge impact on so many people. And that really is what Black economic empowerment should be doing. It should be helping to bridge these divides we have in the country. And I think you're right, Starlink in these rural communities could have a massive impact.
And it's even beyond. I mean, when I was first posing the question, I was just thinking about, you know, a family out in the sticks having some high-speed internet. But actually, I mean, a clinic, I mean, putting up a high-speed, I mean, yeah. the clinic could use it, the school could use it. Heck, the police stations probably, because some of our rural towns are proper rural.
Exactly. And it even extends to farming. So, for example, you know, with some of the farms and some of the technology with drones and checking to see, you know, whether the soil's right, whether it's time to harvest and all that kind of stuff, it allows you to actually help rural farmers with people sitting in offices supporting tons of different farms. There's a whole idea of telemedicine. You know, there may be an operation where there may not be local doctors who can fully help or fully equipped to kind of help with some of the initiatives. I mean, it really is the poor who would benefit so much from this in the country.
Yeah, as you mentioned, things like every time you mention an example, my eyes light up because, of course, it is so hugely important. And it has become, you know, the idea of high-speed internet is completely ubiquitous to us living in the big towns, but to many of the population in rural areas, it's not. And I remember for my life, it was a game changer when it arrived. We'll leave it there. That's Bruce Hunt, Managing Director, Transcend Capital. Appreciate the time.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.